All right, good afternoon, everybody. This is Bradley Panic, and one of my favorite albums of this year, pretty much my favorite album of this year, is an album called Songs for Parents Who Enjoy Drugs by a guy named Hamill on Trial, who was nice enough to stop by this afternoon. Hamill, how's it going?
It's going good.
Going good.
Beautiful day.
Great.
You told me it was raining earlier.
It was storming earlier, yeah, but it's a nice day. Him on Trial is on tour right now. He's opening up for Ani DiFranco tonight at the Rex Theater, which if you don't have tickets, you're not going unless you're a friend of mine and can get in with me because it is sold out. It was sold out before I even heard of the show. Yeah, that show is sold out. It's at the Rex Theater. Should be a really great show, though.
You bringing somebody?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Yeah. But, yeah, it should be a great show. It's a real small venue. I don't know if you've ever been there.
I know it's like 600 seats, maybe?
Uh-huh, right. Yeah.
Is
yeah.
it seated?
I think tonight is general admission.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it's going to be pretty intimate, which will be really cool for Ani and you.
Cool.
So, for those people that don't know who you are, you want to give a quick spiel, just what you're all about, what Hamill on Trial is?
Sure. You know, one guy with a guitar, but it's pretty loud, pretty aggressive. It's got some funny stuff going on there. Got a lot of political stuff going on there. I mean, I guess it's folk music. I guess it's maybe it's anti-folk music. Maybe it's punk music. I just sort of think of it as rock and roll, but I don't have a band. I don't ever tour with a band. But, you know, you'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll kiss, $40 goodbye. You know, come on out.
Great. And you've been going at this for a long time. I mean, I know I have a release of yours that's, I think, marked 1994. When did you begin?
Probably 90.
90?
I mean, that I went solo. I played in bands prior to that, but not any bands that were great. I mean, we were trying to be great, but it just, for some reason, I never could get a distinctive sound. I knew that in order to make a mark, any kind of mark, you'd want to do something that was original and distinctive. And for some reason, the bands never were. And I took a couple years off. I was tended bar in a pretty tough place, which in retrospect, at the time, I sort of hated it, but in retrospect, it's provided a lot of material for what I do. And then very organically, I got a phone call they were throwing together a benefit for a guy that was dying, and he had been a fan of the bands that I was in, and asked me if I would perform, and I said, geez, I don't have a band, and they sort of said, well, what if you had an acoustic guitar? I didn't even own one at the time. I had to borrow one. And as a joke, because a lot of bands would be there sort of scrutinizing my very amateurish performance, I called it Hamill on Trial, and that was my first show, just very organic, and played those tunes, and then there was a small label in upstate New York called Blue Wave. It really was a blues label, but came up to me for that first gig and said, hey, how'd you like to do a record? And prior to that, I couldn't get arrested, and so it was, a very organic epiphany almost, this is what I should be doing, and it's, the ease of operation, the ability to, A, make money, because I got a family, and I do very well now, it's been years, to get songs, the initial impetus in the morning and perform them in the evening, there's something very, without a board of directors to go through, there's something very appealing about that,
Awesome. All right, well, let's talk about the new album now.
Okay.
Which, Songs for Parents Who Enjoy Drugs, which, it seems like it's a very conceptual album, a lot about your son,
yeah.
And a lot about just the trials and tribulations of raising a kid in today's world, with especially
right.
with what this administration is doing, et cetera, et cetera. And you present it in a very funny and
yeah.
satirical way. You want to talk about the album for a little
sure.
bit?
Sure. Well, a couple things. One of which, it became apparent to me that my audience, which is, usually from the ages of 25 to 40, I could sense, not unlike myself, I my son is 4, and a lot of people were coming up to me and going, hey, we're having a kid. So it was a lot of these younger people. And, initially some of it was like, boy, I don't want to buy Barney clothes, and is there hipper clothes? I mean, there was a lot of talk about how we're going to get them a Sonic Youth t-shirt, how we're going to get them a Ramones bib. There was a lot of that kind of like, was there merchandising for this? And then other people would come up and say stuff like, well, in today's political climate, I don't want to have kids. This is a tough, And I think, man, the Republicans, they're breeding. I think
yeah.
that if you're an intelligent and creative and open-minded and multicultural, I mean, now would be the time to have children, you know. I trust your instincts. Rather than saying, no, I can't do it, I think, no, we should populate the country with more intelligent, open-minded, creative people, you know. So breed, you know, that was my, so then, and I also wanted to steer away from, there's a little, something a little too, like, you know, a lot of times people have, particularly guys with acoustic guitars, have kids, and then they have these little precious songs. These are my kid, beautiful. And prior to having a kid, I couldn't give a fuck about kids. And, you know, to a large extent, I still can't, you know, other than my own, you know. So I thought, well, let's do something that's a little less precious and a little more for what, you know, the realities of having a kid in this world today. I think a lot of people, you know, got high in their youth, and maybe now they're going to straighten out a little bit for the kid. What are you going to tell the kid? That's the first thing. Second of all, when the kid starts asking some very obvious questions about, you know, the current administration that are, you know, that a four-year-old could figure out, and yet it goes through Congress to figure the same shit out, what are you going to tell that kid? So, I mean, that it was very easy album to write, actually. It was very quickly inspired, and because there's so many, it almost seems to me like there's a second baby boom going on right now. A lot of people are having kids, and I wonder if, so it seems to resonate with a lot of young, you know, a lot of young parents. This record.
Well, you want to play
yeah,
a song for us now?
Yeah, right. I mentioned two songs in particular. Why don't I do those? This first one is Values, and this is about you know, kids, you know, in politics. My son is more than one, he's more than two, he's less than three. He tries to talk to me about this, about that, about his coat, about his hat, about birds, about the weather. And he's putting words together, and he's forming little phrases. He's got little verbal phases, and he's challenging me. He's got his own personality. When I tell him, little boys got to pick up their toys, well, what he then said exploded in my head. He said, Dad, let me get this straight. The President of the United States, from everything I heard, is arguably the most powerful position in the world. You could have knocked me over with a feather. Listen to him putting those words together. That's pretty advanced noise. All I want him to do is pick up his toys. He said, we're over in Iraq, and there's no sign of turning back. Now, aren't these people dying? On both sides, pain and crying. Well, that's a lot for a child of three. But I answered him yes, honestly. And he said, Dad, am I out of my mind? But the weapons of mass destruction they did not find. I said, no, son, no. WMD was a no-show. He said, Dad, they proved that Iraq had nothing to do with the 9/11 attack. I said, I can't argue with you, because everything that you say is true. And then from the mouth of the littlest of boys, he said, Dad, I ain't picking up my fucking toys. I said, fine, fuck it. Doesn't take a lot of brains to see in this new world chaos reigns. If you can't make sense no more, take off your diaper. Take a shit on the floor. Values, values, values. I said, we're getting in a sweat. What do you say we study the alphabet? He said, Dad, we've been over this before. But what do you say we go over it one time more? He said, Dad, you ain't no fool. Is there some kind of presidential school, some kind of test or exam to show that you're the qualified man? I mean, from everything I hear, let me see if I'm clear. People are voting him in because they want to socialize with him and a beer. Now, that's no qualification for a man to be leading a nation. What if you saw a guy from the bar emerging? Would you say, he'd make a fuck of a surgeon? He's a nice guy, although no education. I'm going to let him do my wife's brain operation. Dad, I'm going to hold off on class, and you can stick the alphabet up your ass. Values, values, values. So we're down at the playground, run around safe and sound. The kids are on the slides and the swings, having fun, falling down. They're only three or two, and they fight over toys as little kids do. I tell my son he's got to share. When he comes up with this, all I can do is stare. He said, I'm an isolationist, Dad. That kid made me really fucking mad. You know, I don't need him or NATO. God chose me, it's fate. Oh, values are tough to teach a child when the president has gone completely wild. I put my kid in his room. I lock the door. I tell my wife I can't take it no more. Values, values, values.
All right. That was great. And I wanted to sing along, but out of respect for all the people listening, I didn't. You know.
Should have done it. It would have made it different.
Maybe on the next one. But Yeah, so that's great. So what inspired? I mean, obviously that was inspired by your kid, but what were you at the park when you wrote that? I mean, like how did that just?
Yeah, that's a good
question. Did you just pop values out? Like, was
that's a good question. Because the next one I could tell you.
Changing his diaper or something, or. No, oh,
okay. I did think. Obviously, he did not ask those questions, and obviously, he doesn't know, you know, the bigger picture. And probably, as a kid, he won't be interested in politics for many years. But I did think these obvious things. I mean, he does ask me questions that are so pure in their naivety. I wish I could find an example because I wasn't prepared. But hey, you know, sometimes it's like. They're obvious, you know, where, you know, in this particular case, there's a lot of argument about, you know, there's not that much argument. A four-year-old would, you know, they really cut to the bone of, well, once again, not to romanticize or the kid, but they do cut to the bone of certain things that doesn't really, you know, is he a bad person or is he a good person? You know, there would be one. You know, like, he seems like a bad boy, and he's like, right, in light of what he's done to you, it's a bad one. It's like there's not a lot of gray area, you know. It's kind of black and white. And there's something very appealing about that. It doesn't take a lot of argument. It's like what it is, it is. And so maybe I think that's probably what inspired it. It came very quickly from what I remember.
Oh, cool. It's a great song.
Thank you.
I guess you're opening for Ani tonight, and Ani has been part of your career for a while.
Yeah.
It seems.
Very helpful.
Yeah. You want to elaborate on that? Like, how did you first? Start a relationship with her.
It, once again, very organic. It was, I lived in Austin, Texas for a couple years, and I had a residency there at a club called the Electric Lounge, and it was a band called Drums and Tuba that used to also have the same night residency. They ended up on her label. I don't know how they ended up on her label, but I was friends with them. They dragged her down to see me. And little by little, I mean, it's been about 5-6 years now that we've been friends. And little by little, I think I toured with her. We did maybe one date, and that was, you know, that worked out nice. And then she offered me maybe a couple months later 2 dates. And then little by little, we got into it so that I was playing with her a lot. And just before I had an automobile accident, and she was recording a live record for me to do. That was going to be on Righteous Babe initially, but then I got in this automobile accident. I didn't have any money. I needed money to live. So they gave me, to their very generous credit, gave me the tapes. Just said, here, Ed, go for it, and so that I could put it out myself. Then when I came out of that, I started doing another record called Tough Love. She produced 4 songs on that, and then I said to her, hey, how'd you like to produce this new record? And and we were already talking about my next record, which I'm hoping to have out in February of 2007. So we're talking already about, and I think it's just going to be me and the guitar. Very, very similar to what we're doing here, although with an amp and different guitars and stuff, but very, very, I think no overdubs maybe.
Is Ani going to be producing it?
Yeah, okay. I think it's just going to be. I do a lot of, I have a studio in my basement, probably, you know, similar to this, really, and do a lot of demos, and then I bring her, and she's very respectful. I mean, a lot of the overdubs that you hear on this new record were really done in my basement, and then they do everything with, what is that program, that recording program?
Pro Tools.
So they do everything with Pro Tools, and because my situation is digital, they're able to fly everything over.
Right. Great. Want to play another song
for us? Yeah, let's do the other one we were talking about with the kid and the questions there. You got a kid, I got a kid. Are you gonna tell him the things that you did? Tell him the truth about your sordid youth. If he wants to know, did you do blow? Did you get high and listen to the stereo? Nah, Pops, when's the first time you did a drug crime? I smoked my first J on my 11th birthday. In high school exams, how'd you stay up to read? The kid across the street dealt an excellent speed. And what classes is boring is mine out of day. Hey, most of the time I was tripping, so I really can't say. And Dad, let's see how truthful you are. You ever high behind the wheel of a car? Man, I thought I was flying a 747. 47 when I sold that car. I think they scraped it for resin. And Dad, you courted Mom. How'd you make her your own? Well, we drink a lot of vodka. We do methadone. So when he asked me about my past and did I get high, I've been seriously thinking about my reply. I'm gonna lie, I'm gonna lie, I'm gonna lie, I'm gonna lie, I'm gonna lie. Dad, did you ever do drugs? No way. Dad, did you ever do it with any woman besides Mom? Did you ever see that Fellini movie, Satyricon? I was 13 the first time, so good I shouldn't speak. They should have wrapped me in a hefty bag and drained me twice a week. And Dad, what's the kinkiest that you ever got? Well, there was a mother and daughter upstate that were crazy, stupid, hot. There was this girl and her dog, but we won't get into that. There was these three dominatrixes in a one-room flat. Couple times in a church pew was a heavenly thing. And there was a girl named Ruth in the booth of the Burger King. My wife's eating a hole through me with her evil eye. My kids got inquiries and they want an honest reply. I'm gonna lie, I'm gonna lie, I'm gonna lie, I'm gonna lie, I'm gonna lie. Dad, did you have premarital sex? Absolutely not. Now come the tough questions that is gonna ask, cause all prosecutors save the hard stuff for last. Dad, did you ever steal from the store when you didn't have the bucks? Hey, from what I remember, most of the stuff I just fell off of trucks. And Dad, did you ever own a gun? Well, wasn't like I had a license for one. And Dad, did you ever steal an automobile for fun? The owners wouldn't have wanted it when we got done. And Dad, I heard you bartending in a place that dealt crack. We were just making sure our clientele would come back. He wants the truth. I look him in the eye. Set a good example, you know, I'm that kind of guy. I'm gonna lie, I'm gonna lie, I'm gonna lie, I'm gonna lie, I'm gonna lie. Dad, did you ever do anything bad? Fuck no.
Thank you, thank you.
You're welcome.
That was great. You know what? That is my favorite song off the album.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so, I mean, I wasn't going to ask you to play it, you know, but I'm glad you picked that one, because that is my favorite. But my favorite part of the whole album is at the very end. Dad, did you ever do anything bad? And you give the fuck no.
Okay.
Makes me laugh every time. I love
good.
It. I
good.
Love it.
Good.
It's very great. Very great.
Good.
So what, I mean, what do you think, like, the future holds for you? I mean, obviously, you have this tour. This is going to be going on for a while.
For me?
Yeah. And you have the next record coming out, hopefully next February, as you mentioned. What else do you think's in store? I mean, obviously, it seems to me, I mean, I haven't seen you yet, but it seems to me like your show has altered a bit. I mean, I've read a lot of things, a one-man show type thing, conceptual.
Well.
What does this mean, like, for your career? I mean, what direction do you think you're going to go next? What is this?
Well, you're right. There is, to some extent, a trick. You know, I mean, little by little, over the past, I mean, I really didn't get out there. I got signed in 94, really. So I've been doing this for 12 years. And little by little, you know, I got a good little following in Europe. And I think, as I was saying to you in the car on the way over, you know, I draw a couple hundred in Chicago, and I got 6,000 people on my mailing list, and I do a couple hundred in, you know, San Francisco, and Portland, and Seattle, and down south that's a little sketchier. I do well in Florida, oddly enough, who would have figured. But I mean, so I tour all the time, and that, you know, makes me a good living, and I'm able to support my family. However, you know, like any artist that has something to say, I would like my audience to be larger. And so it doesn't seem to me, after touring this amount of time, that it has sort of peaked, I mean, in terms of what I can do touring. So I very similar to what I do on stage, but geared towards a different crowd, which would almost be like a music/theater crowd. And, you know, some of the people, you know, obviously I'm influenced by, I don't know, like the Clash and the Ramones, any of that 70s punk stuff I'm big on. But I also love, you know, like Lou Reed and Tom Waits, and there's a lot. But just as much as those guys, there's a bunch of literary figure, you know, like Kerouac or Bukowski or, I don't know, Hunter Thompson, William Burroughs. And then there's a bunch of comedians like Lenny Bruce and Richard Pryor. picks, and so I have sort of taken what I do on stage anyway, and just I probably added more dialogue to get it to a theater crowd. We did six nights at the Knitting Factory in New York, and it was very, very successful, infinitely more than I would have predicted. There was a big write-up in the Village Voice, the last three nights were sold out, and it became apparent to me that I could make a bigger splash, stay a little closer to my house, make more money, and absolutely do what I want to do. Sometimes it's very difficult to scream over the bar, you know. I mean, I probably will, if I did theaters all the time, I'd miss the punk rock clubs, you know, probably. Since I'm always not 100% satisfied. But. So that is the battle plan, and I have recently signed to new management. They used to manage Bill Hicks, these guys, actually, and along with my record company and publicist, we're trying to kick off a show to sort of coincide with this album I'm trying to get released by next February. So the battle plan is to get it in the theaters in New York, Philly, Washington, and London starting next February.
No Pittsburgh
yet. But I'll take it on the road, you know, I'll take it on the road. And really, then, at that point, it'd be nice to have, like, an HBO or a Comedy Central or somebody come out and see it. And then I think that, quite frankly, television, you know, I mean, obviously, if you could get it on HBO, you're going to hit so many more people than going to Fort Lauderdale. I mean, it's a tough way to live, you know, and I've lived that way for the last, I've toured for probably 10 years straight. Besides the fact that I have a wife and a kid, you're trying to balance it. I was also saying to you on the way over in the car, I love to, you know, I'm very lucky in that I love to record, I love to perform, but I really love to write. I mean, and writing is the one little seed on this whole thing, that it's finding I have to eke out time. I used to be able to write 4 hours a day, 2 in the morning, 2 in the evening, and now I have to eke it out, you know, when my kid's at the playground. I have to eke it out at night when everybody's asleep, and I got to eke it out on the bus, you know, from one gig to the next. And so that what I'm trying to do is get myself, you know, probably like everybody out there listening, I'm trying to work less and make more. that's my goal in life.
Very good. Well, best of luck tonight, obviously.
Thanks.
And
thanks.
You want to send us out with one more
song?
Yeah,
I got one. This will be a special treat. This is not recorded yet, but I figure since we don't have any FCC regulations,
none at all.
Anything
none at all.
We'll do this one. So here we go. Brand spanking new. We'll be on the next record, but performed, never been recorded before. Pat has gone wacky. He's calling for heads. He's pulling no punches. He wants people dead. Pat has asked God to blow towns off the map. It's fire in brimstone. He's taking no crap. He's Pat Robertson. He's Pat Robertson. Pat has got money. He's richer than rich. He's God's man on TV. That son of a bitch. Through the eye of a needle, a rich man can't pass. But Pat will own heaven. He's kicking that ass. He's Pat Robertson. He's Pat Robertson. Pat asked God's wrath down on Dover, PA, for ousting the school board, for voting the way of intelligent design. Now Pat wants a flood to kill parents and students and show them God's love. He's Pat Robertson. He's Pat Robertson. Last night God appeared to me. He said, I've come to you, Hamill, like Joan of Arc. Like Our Lady of Fatima, from which I understand is a very obscure Catholic reference. I didn't know. I saw the movie when I was a kid. It seemed good to me. Anyway, let's get back to the Joan of Arc thing. He said, Hamill, I've come to you like Joan of Arc. I want you to do me a favor. I said, I'll do anything I can for you, God, but I gotta be honest. You really left that Joan of Arc out on the lurch. He said, I know, I'm sorry about that. I said, well, it takes a big man to admit when he's wrong. And in the Christian spirit, I forgive you. I said, what can I do for you, God? He said, do you think you can get, I know that you travel all over and you do podcasts and people placements and you do all kinds of concerts and you go to Europe and you see all these people. Do you think you can get any of them to shoot Pat Robertson through the fucking head? I said, well, I'll see what I can do for you, God. It isn't like I haven't thought about it myself. Do you think that you could come up with a catchy chorus that we could all sing along to at home as we're listening to the podcast? Yes. I've been working on something, God said. And it goes like this. His brain's on the cross behind him. His brain's on the cross behind him. Everybody now. His brain's on the cross behind him. His brain's on the cross behind him. You sitting at home in your pajamas. His brain's on the cross behind him. Dying to get to internet porn. His brain's on the cross behind him. So the 700 Club could be reduced to $6.99. Pat took the credit when Sharon had a stroke. That West Bank action, it wasn't no joke. Sharon had a stroke cause he tested God's moods. It was a little of that. And maybe fried foods. He's Pat Robertson. He's Pat Robertson. He's Pat Robertson. I'll loan you the gun. He's Pat Robertson.
Thank you so much. That was great. That was great. Oh, that was wonderful. That was wonderful. Well, for those of you out here listening, you just got a very, very, very special treat. And it wasn't on those terrestrial airwaves. It was right over the internet, podcasted to
you.
You
think the FCC will come knocking at your door tonight or anything?
You know what? I hope they do, because I'll just tell you know what? That was a good song. You can stick the alphabet up your ass.
Great.
You know?
Very good.
Thank you so much for doing this, Ed.
That's right, man. Thank you.
It was great.
We shook hands. You didn't see it. We just shook hands.
Yes, we did just shake hands.
For now we're going to go make sandwiches and jump on the bed.
That's right, because Mom and Dad are out of town. But Hamill's playing tonight with Ani DeFranco. For those of you in the Pittsburgh area, hopefully you will be at the show. Please check out his website at hamillontrial.com. He's a Righteous Babe Records recording artist. Pick up Songs for Parents Who Enjoy Drugs. You will definitely be satisfied. I guarantee it. And, best of luck to you,
sure,
Hamill.
Thanks so much, man. I enjoyed it.
All right.
It was fun, a lot of fun.
All right.
The last bastion of freedom.
Last bastion of freedom. That's right. See? If the people get their way, you know, stuff like this won't exist anymore. So.
You know, I wanted to say on the way over here, my analogy to this is fanzines at one time in the 80s when there was a whole get in the van kind of indie rock thing with Black Flag and the Minutemen and all that. There was all these fanzines around, and now you don't see them anymore because everybody's on the internet. And this is the NeuroRancer, the modern day tech equivalent of the fanzine. So this is really cool.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Yeah. And thanks for supporting it. Hopefully more artists will follow your example.
Good year. I hope they do.
All right.
They're suckers if they don't.
All right. Well, Ed and I are signing out. Everyone have a good afternoon.